I'm Pastor Myron Dom. At Northmark Church, we believe the Bible is God's holy word, given to us from God for our benefit. God's word gives us wisdom, direction, comfort, and conviction. As we expound his word verse by verse each week, we hope to encourage and give you insight as you walk one step behind Jesus. Thanks for listening.
Take your copy of God's Word and open it with me to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts, chapter 1. Were you able to stay filled with the Holy Spirit each day this week? Did your life look like that helium-filled balloon soaring over your situations? Or did you have an experience more like that half-inflated balloon kind of bouncing around and getting pushed around? I want to encourage you, the Holy Spirit can make all the difference in your life if you will let him. In Acts chapter 1, before Jesus went back to heaven, he told us what he wanted us to be about while we awaited his return on the clouds in glory one day. Simply put, he wants us to be about telling others of him. It's that simple. He made it clear. And he even gave us the Holy Spirit who would guide us and empower us to tell others of him. Everything is in place. All we have to do is be willing. I want to encourage you today. Let's do this. Let's each say yes to the Holy Spirit. Let's do this. Let's each say yes, Holy Spirit, have your way in my life. Work through me to tell others of the King of Kings. When each of us in our everyday experience decide to be willing to allow the Holy Spirit to have his way, he will make the difference. In our passage, we see the apostles coming to grips with Jesus' direction. I want us to learn from their example. For they each eventually took the step that I'm inviting us to take today. Here's the step they took. They made this realization. I can be a witness. Say this with me. I can be a witness. Again, I can be a witness. We need to realize, I can do this. It's really quite simple. If Jesus Christ has entered my life and made a difference in my personal experience, then I can tell that story. I can testify to that reality. I can share with another human soul what he's done for me. I can simply say what I saw. I can simply describe what's happened. I can be a witness. This past winter, my son was driving to YSU, getting to school on time, when the girl in front of him in an opposite car in the lane next to him began to text while she was driving. He could see the phone clearly reflecting off of her front mirror there. And so he watched that phone as he's driving, and sure enough, that phone began to drift. And as that phone drifted to the right, so did her hand on the wheel. And next thing, she drove her car right into the median strip, spun around, and T-boned the front end of my son's Toyota. Boom! Blew the front end right off of that little Scion. Both cars lay mangled on the freeway. Praise the Lord, nobody got hurt. As the traffic backed up, yes, glory to God for that. As the traffic backed up, the officer finally arrived and began to get the stories of what happened. Well, my son was dismayed to hear this girl begin to backpedal on the reality of what happened. Well, maybe it was the ICE officer. Maybe he was following too close to me. Maybe it really wasn't my fault. And my son was standing there. It's now his word against hers, and the officer's between two college kids. Which one am I going to believe? In this backed-up traffic, a brave woman braved the cold and got out of her car and walked up to the officer and said, I was driving right behind this accident, and I can be a witness. And the officer said, well, tell me what you saw. And her story identically mirrored my son's story. All of a sudden, the whole scene changed. The officer's attention turned. He wrote up the report according to the witness's version, which matched my son's version, which certainly helped us when we called the insurance companies. Being a witness is a good thing. Amen, church? It's a good thing. Her simple, sincere testimony of what she saw happen made the difference. You and I can be witnesses. You and I can follow Jesus Christ and be witnesses. If He's in our lives, if He is impacting us, we can simply tell others what we see happening. It's that simple. Look with me at verse 6 of Acts chapter 1. So when they met together, they asked Him, this is the apostles, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? The apostles were just confused. Recall from last week, verse 5, Jesus had just told them they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Obviously, they figured this was going to inaugurate something special, something important. They assumed He was going to establish His earthly kingdom, where He would reign over Israel with righteous authority. And yes, that will happen one day when He does return again. But between this moment in history and that day, He had a different agenda. Look at verse 7. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by His own authority. The day is coming when He will return and be King of kings on this earth. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." The Holy Spirit would enable them to be a witness of what they had seen and what had happened in their lives. They would not do this under their own strength. Look right there at the verse 8. It says, you will receive what? Power. Power. It would be the Holy Spirit's power that would enable them to testify, to be a witness, to explain, to tell, to share. Verse 9. After He said this, He was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid Him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as He was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they asked, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen Him go into heaven." I can't help but thinking that these two angels were having a little fun at the apostles' expense. I can imagine my little paraphrase of this. "Hey, fellas, what you staring at? He's going to come back. Until that day, He told you to get busy. You know what you need to do. Let's do this." And the apostles did it. The apostles believed what Jesus told them. They trusted the Holy Spirit to guide and empower, and they began to talk and to show and to tell others about Jesus Christ. They did it. So seeing what happened with the apostles makes us realize, number one, God uses, say it with me, ordinary people. Say it again. God uses ordinary people. The apostles were not spiritual giants. They were normal, average, working class people like you and me who decided to let the Holy Spirit have His way with them. They would never have imagined all that would be accomplished through their little lives. They'd been minding their own business, working hard every day to earn enough to provide for their families, trying to enjoy their freedom when opportunity allowed, then going to sleep at night, praying for strength to get up the next day and repeat it, hoping that it all turns out okay. Kind of sounds like my life and your life, doesn't it? When Jesus entered their dusty little world and explained to them who he was and what he could do, and they believed him. The Holy Spirit empowered them, and they were never the same. Throughout the book of Acts, as we study it this year, we'll read story after story of ordinary people whom God transformed for his purposes. One of them is a fellow named Paul, the Apostle Paul. Not one of the original dozen. He got added in later through some unusual circumstances. What's amazing about Paul, though, is that he was so average, so normal, actually quite forgettable. If you met him on the street, nothing would strike you about this guy. You would pass by him without a thought. In fact, as critics claimed in 2 Corinthians 10, in person, he is weak, and his speeches are worthless. He himself testified in 1 Corinthians 2. When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ crucified. I came to you, look at these next words. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. When I have us this morning take this next step, I can be a witness. The natural emotion that follows is fear and trembling and weakness. Because to actually, like, say something to that guy at work tomorrow about Jesus, that's a little anxiety-provoking, isn't it? To actually think about that person in your second period class who you just know needs to know God because they obviously don't, and maybe God wants you to say something to them, that can create some anxiety, can't it? The Apostle Paul says that when I became a witness for Jesus, I was overcome with fear, I was overcome with weakness, and I found myself trembling. Can you tremble a little bit with me? Tremble. You know what that feeling is like when you're trembling, when like, I know I'm supposed to do something, but man, this is really hard. And God allows it to be hard for a purpose, because he doesn't want people to believe in him because you're so eloquent and have such superior wisdom. He wants people to see you trembling, so when they realize what you're saying is true, they realize it's God, not him, not her. It's God. Look what he says there. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration, say it with me, of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, say it again, but on God's power. God delights, his first choice, his favorite choice is ordinary people, because the more ordinary you are, the more extraordinary he looks. If you're a rock star in your own mind, you're going to block God's glory because you're looking for some of it yourself. But when you look in the mirror and be honest and realize I am what I am, and God have mercy on me and help me. And so, hey friend, guess what? This God that I believe in, he's changed my life. He could probably do it for you too. I mean, look at me. All of a sudden, God gets tremendous glory. This is why his first and favorite choice in being a witness is an ordinary person. Someone like you. Someone like me. An ordinary, average person. When regular folks begin to trust Jesus to do what only He can do, then when He does it, He gets all the credit. And He delights in being honored for who He is. We just need to get out of His way and let Him have His way through us, that people see the power of God. Can I tell you this morning, our faith is worthless unless it's rooted in the power of God. If you're depending upon me or some other voice on the radio or through a book to convince you to follow God, you're looking up the wrong tree. It has to be focused upon the power of God to change your life, to make the difference in your experience. If I didn't have the power of God, I would not be here. And I would certainly not ever come here again. Because I've got better things to do with my time, don't you? But if I'm looking for the power of God, and I see the power of God working in someone else's normal everyday life, and I realize that's God making a difference in them, that draws me to that power. That's why the apostle says here in this passage, I came to you to show off God. Not to stand in front of Him by being eloquent and superior acting, but to say, look at what Jesus can do. He did it for me. He can do it for you. This is what it means. This is the essence of being a witness. Embrace your ordinariness. Don't think it's some expert that needs to do this witnessing thing. No. You've got to see that God's first and favorite choice is you, an ordinary person just like you and me. He delights in us showing Him off to others. The more ordinary, in fact, the more messed up we are, the brighter He shines against the darkness of our past experience. We are like a black cloth that diamond of His grace glistens on. Look at my experience. Look at the train wreck of my life, and look at Him. Look at what He has done for me. Can you give Him praise this morning? Glorify Him. Considering what happened with the apostles, we realize, number two, we are just as sent as they were. The word is sent. When you look back at verse 8, you realize Jesus gave the apostles a real common sense sort of direction. He said, well, you're right here in Jerusalem, so start here. And Judea is right around you. It's the region around you. So then go there. And then Samaria is right next door. So then you hit that place. And then from there, you just keep going forth until the whole world hears about me. It's important for us to see the beauty and the wisdom in this. The apostles' task was the same one that we have today. Jesus tells us, start right where you are, in your home and in your neighborhood and in your school system and at your place of employment. And then you be a witness in those places, and as I direct you to move to other locations, you just take me with you because I'll be there. Do you realize the Scriptures teach us that we are Christ's ambassadors? 2 Corinthians 5:20. I am Christ's ambassador, as if God were making His appeal through me. That means wherever I go, Jesus goes. So if you're a follower of Jesus and you stop by a Giant Eagle this afternoon, guess who just walked into Giant Eagle? Jesus Christ. If you're a follower of Jesus and you go to your place of employment and you walk to that same desk you sat at on Friday, guess who's sitting there next to you on Monday morning? Jesus Christ. Wherever you go as a follower of Jesus, He goes with you. This is why we know we are sent to these places, because Jesus is directing our steps. And as you go, He will often prompt you to show and tell, to show someone some encouragement, to offer them a smile, to give them a voice of wisdom or truth, to reach out and be of practical help to them. They obviously have a need. You've got two arms, two legs. Help them right now. God will direct your steps to show and tell others about Him, because wherever you go, follower of Jesus, He's right there. You've got to be ready to talk about Him. I encourage you, have your own before and after story ready to share, so that when He prompts you, you know what to say. You want to be filled with the Spirit, not just so you enjoy life better, so that when He does prompt you, you have the power to say. Do you see how this works? It all goes back to the Holy Spirit's presence in your life. Now, the apostles believed they were sent. They believed it was the Holy Spirit guiding and empowering them. And they believed they would be fruitful eventually because Jesus was in this. We have to have that same perspective. Wherever I go, He's sending me. As I go, He goes with me. Because He's there, something good's going to come out of this eventually. It's like that little boy in the farm stable with a little shovel digging through a mound of horse manure. And someone asked him, "Son, what are you doing?" He says, "I'm looking for the pony. He's got to be around here somewhere." You got to have this kind of perspective, friends, that wherever you are, whatever's happening, even if it's disastrous, even if it looks like a mistake, even if it's a crisis, even if it involves uncomfortable circumstances, God has you there. And you can be a witness. These apostles looked for open doors and closed doors. They perceived every encounter as an opportunity for the Holy Spirit to be at work in them, and they took advantage of it. Once, two of them found themselves in jail. Chapter 16 of Acts describes the story. They figured they must have been sent there for a purpose, so they began to worship. Imagine singing in jail. Imagine being in a modern-day jail and saying, "Well, I landed here by some unforeseen circumstances, and I know I'm innocent, but I'm here. God, you have a purpose." God's purpose was for the jailer. The jailer heard their songs, was intrigued. Some other circumstances evolved that night, and he found himself saying to them, "Guys, where'd you get this power? Where's this power coming from? I want to know the God who gives your life that kind of power, that you can be singing even when I have you in locks and stocks." That man would eventually place his faith in Jesus that evening, convince his whole family of God's power, and the whole clan got baptized that night in their home. Amazing story of ordinary people believing they were sent, even when they were sent into a disaster. God was directing their steps. Remembering what happened with the apostles, number three, makes us realize we can expect the Spirit's power in our lives. Again, the promise in verse 8 is that you will receive, say it with me, power. You will receive power. Jesus did not just establish an unrealistic expectation that makes us tremble with fear. He says, "You will be my witnesses because I will empower you through the Holy Spirit." God never gives an expectation without giving you the power to do it. When God's word tells you to forgive, and it's hard to forgive, He will empower you to do it. When He compels you to confront, and it's hard to confront. When He compels you to be patient, it's really hard to be patient. When He compels you to wait, when He compels you to move forward, when He compels you to be kind, when He compels you to be generous, when God compels you, His promise is, "If you obey me, I'll provide the power." You simply have to walk forward in faith. Realize this: we can be witnesses only because of the Holy Spirit. It is only the Spirit's power in us that enables us to tell someone else about Jesus. I was recently searching for a chair for a room in our home. Had to be just the right size to fit in this particular location. I knew what kind of chair I was looking for. I had a kind of an image in my mind, but I had actually never seen one that would just fit that description. So I began searching. So I went to all the local stores here in the area. You're familiar with them. And I went through aisle after aisle looking for that chair. I had my measuring tape in my pocket. It had to be just the right size to fit in this one spot. And someone advised me to check out this store that's quite a distance, a very small place. And I thought, it's a long drive. I don't want to do that. But I knew I wasn't going to find this chair. And so on a particular day, particular time, I felt compelled I should go check that store out. So I went to that store, and sure enough, I walked in. It was just like every other store. There was not this piece I was looking for, this particular chair. And I thought, well, I should check out the whole store. So I walked clear to the back of this long, narrow building, and right back by the manager's place where they would check you out, bam, there it was. Sitting there right to the left of her counter, this little chair that would just fit. Got my measuring tape, measured it. It's going to fit perfect. I was a happy camper, and so I'm ready to check out. The lady behind the counter was real chatty. You met those kind of clerks before? She's chewing gum and chatting away and started chatting me up. So I kind of sent the signal. You know how you do that? You open your watch up and kind of look at it, you know, and kind of sent the signal that, like, we need to get through this. And she says to me, "You like that chair?" "Oh, I love this chair." She goes, "My husband loved furniture like that up until the day he died." He just died just 9 months ago, and man, I miss him. I'm looking at my watch, and I said, "Well, I'm so sorry for your loss." And I slid my credit card across the counter, and "Oh, yes, yes." And so she got back to finishing the transaction, and I purchased the chair, and I thanked her, and I walked out and got to my truck and put it in the trunk, and I came around the truck, and bam, I walked right into the Holy Spirit. And he said, "Where do you think you're going, mister?" And I said, "Well, I got an appointment." He said, "Yes, you do. And it's back in that store." And I'm like, come on. And so I began to debate with God. You ever do this? I began to debate with him. So here's what I said to him. I said, "Lord, come on. That's embarrassing. I got to walk back in that store? I mean, I kind of blew her off a little bit. I mean, look, I have got an appointment at the church." I gave one lame excuse after another. The Holy Spirit did not flinch. He then gently reminded me, "I love using ordinary people. And you, my friend, are ordinary. I didn't send you here to buy a chair. I sent you here to meet that grieving person. You are more excited about that chair than you are about helping her see me." Not supposed to be like that, Myron. "Now, if you obey me, I'll give you the power." I looked at the Lord, if you will, and you know how God gives you that stern feeling, like, "Get back in that store." I felt that urge of the prompting of the Holy Spirit convicting me. And so I obediently and dutifully walked back into that store. I'm praying as I go, "Make her busy. Just make her busy." I can't see her. The store's full of people. She's nowhere to be seen. I'm like, I really have to go. I turn and she's coming right up the aisle. "Hey, did you forget something?" "Yeah, excuse me, I don't mean to be too personal, but you shared about your husband dying, and it was obvious that you're still hurting, and obviously you loved him and respect him and deeply miss him, and I know what it's like to lose loved ones, and I discovered that by talking to God in prayer about my hurt, it helps me cope." I said it just like that. I'm immediately thinking her to go, "What are you, weird or something, pal? Back off." Instead, her eyes just flood with tears. And she says, "Did God really help you?" Yes. Yes, he did. Tell me more. Holy Spirit's like, he's going, look at this guy. Look at, see, I told you to listen to me. So I said, well, let me tell you how my life was before I met Jesus. And after, I did that real brief, 100 word or less thing. And I shared just, and then I said, and here's how he helped me with my hurt when I lost my loved one. And I just would love to pray for you. And she said, please. And she stuck out both hands and thrust them right into my hands. Boom. So I grabbed her hands, and we stood in this furniture store, people milling around, and I just prayed out loud that God would heal her heart and show her how much he loves her. Amen. When I finished, she said, thank you so much for walking back in this store and showing me you cared. And I said, let's be frank here. I was reluctant to come back in thinking you'd think I was weird. And it's actually God that cares, because he sent me back in here. And he loves you. So anything you're feeling here, that's him. That's him reaching out to your heart. I invite you to turn to him. He made the difference for me. He'll do it for you. And I walked out of that store. What's the point? The point is, though I'm reluctant, though I'm weak and fearful and trembling, I can be a witness. And so can you. Though you're weak and fearful and trembling, you can be a witness. Say with me, I can be a witness. I can be a witness. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. Because he uses ordinary people like us. Because he sends us not to buy chair, but to meet a grieving person. He sends us all kinds of places to meet all kinds of people all the time. So as we're doing our business and our work and our activities, keep your eyes open. Be filled with him. Respond to his prompting. Reach out to those people, because he'll give you the power to be a witness. He'll do it. We just have to answer this last question. Am I willing? Am I willing? It's your turn now to debate with God. Would you bow your head with me? And would you spend a moment, just you and God, answering this question. Am I willing to be a witness? You tell him. Lord, that's more than enough time for all of us to debate you, because you truly have the upper hand on this one. If you're in our lives, if you've made a difference in our lives, and the Holy Spirit is there, then we have everything we need to be a witness. I pray you would give us the courage and the humility of mind to be that witness for you. Help us, Lord Jesus, to not complicate it, but to realize your first choice is ordinary people like me. And I've been sent. Wherever I go, that's where you want me. That's where you are. And your power will be there because your Spirit will do it. Lord, I can be a witness. Help me to be one this week. In Jesus' powerful name we pray. Amen. Amen. This summer we talked about show and tell, looking for opportunities to show the love of Jesus and tell others about him. And I put out that challenge, you remember it, to write up your before and after story. Well, this morning, in view of this passage, I want to take that challenge even a little further. Watch this video.
Hey, Northmark family, it's Pastor Myron. This summer, we've been talking a lot about show and tell, showing the love of Jesus and then looking for opportunities to tell people about Jesus. Showing and telling is something God calls us to be a part of. We know only He can change hearts and minds, but when we show and tell, we get to be part of His team. The Holy Spirit will prompt us when it's right to show somebody the love of the Lord. Other times, He'll prompt us to tell them Jesus is the one that can make the difference in their life. In order to tell, you've got to have your own faith story ready. And this summer, I put out the challenge to some folks at church to design your faith story, your before and after Jesus story, your show and tell story, and to make it brief and clear, simple and humble. In order to do this, I challenged them to do it in under 100 words. That's pretty brief, and that means you've got to be clear and simple. If you can mix it with some humility, well, then people want to hear that story because it only takes you less than a minute to tell it. So here's the challenge. Will you make the effort to record your own personal before and after story of following Jesus, your show and tell story, and then post it on your favorite social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever works for you? You want to quickly tell people what your life was like before Jesus came in, the fact that He did come in, and the difference He's made since. That's your show and tell story. Let me show you how easy it is to do it. You just take your phone and you turn on the camera app, switch it over to video, and then make sure you change the direction so it's facing you, of course. Then record yourself saying your personal show and tell story. What your life was like before Jesus came in, the fact He did come in, and now the difference He's been making in your life since you've been following Him. If you post this, we would love to be able to see it, and we'd love to be able to share it, so you can tag us at Northmark Church. And also, when you post it, make sure that you use the hashtag ShowAndTellNMC. To find out more stories and see other people posting their videos, you can simply hit that hashtag ShowAndTellNMC. Again, let's get ready to follow the Holy Spirit's prompting and show and tell other people about Jesus.
I hope this message from God's Word has encouraged you in your spiritual journey. On Sundays, we have an Inspire service at 9 a.m. in our fellowship hall and two Engage services in our sanctuary at 9:30 and 11. Come by and visit us. You can also check us out on the web at northmarkchurch.com or simply download the Northmark Church app to your device. We would be honored to serve you in any way we can. May the Lord give you an increased awareness of His presence in your life.